discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Father, we are grateful, we are thankful. Thank you for the blessing we have. Thank you for this great opportunity we have to be in your presence like this once again. Lord, we pray that you speak to us. Pray that you grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let the eyes of understanding be enlightened practically. Bring us to higher levels of knowledge concerning Jesus Christ. Help us get to know your love for us some more as we hear your word, even in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give Jesus a big shout? Wow. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Did you enjoy Believers Convention yesterday? How many of you were here? How many of you could make it yesterday? Wow, what a blessing. I hope you are blessed. You can kindly take your seats. We are going to do, every time we have a meeting like that, I want to allow you to ask questions. Maybe there's something you didn't understand. You get it? So we are doing question and answers for the next 1 hour. So if there's any question in the next few minutes, we are going to ask questions. And then I believe the Lord will give us answers to those questions. But I hope, those of you here, I hope you are blessed. I hope you learned something. Beautiful. Maybe I should ask you what you learned, rather. Yeah. So tell me one, someone should tell me something that blessed you. Okay, tell us. So tell us what you learned. Tell them. Yeah.
Thank you, Daddy, for the opportunity. Yesterday, I was really, really blessed. You taught on the fatherhood of God. And I've been hearing all the time that God loves me, God loves me. But yesterday, I really got to understand that it is the same level, like, I'm on the same level with Christ. Like,
amazing.
The same way God loves me, the same way He loves Jesus Christ. Mm. And it wasn't really getting down with me because, I mean, Jesus is Jesus, mm-hmm. and I am said enough.
Oh, yes.
But yesterday you really explained that, Charlie, the love, yeah, I need to accept it, that God loves me. Even though from the beginning it may not sound too well, but yesterday you said that if you really want to believe something, you have to read concerning it.
Yeah.
You have to meditate. Listen, you have to watch it. And I said that I'm going to do that. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it's difficult to believe, but it is the truth. Or you didn't see me showing you verses in the Bible. Yeah, they are in the Bible. A lot of verses. Yeah. A lot of verses. The same love. The same love. Yeah. And it's before the foundations of the earth. Hey. Before you even knew you existed, God had encircled you for the purpose of showering on you His love, which is the place of His Son. Yeah. It's amazing. So believe in it. Tell neighbor, believe in it.
Believe in it.
Tell the other neighbor, believe in it.
Believe in it.
Yeah. Believe that the Lord, God is preserving you. God is helping you. God is, you know, training you, raising you. God is supplying for you. Never think that your future will not, something good will not happen in your future. Your future is going to be bright all the time. Yes, because you are loved. Hallelujah. All right. So any question, anyone with any question, please, you can ask. Yes. Can we know your name?
Please, my name is Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi.
Yes.
So thank you, Bishop. So please, my question is, what is eternal life? And if eternal life is supposed to start here on earth, how is it supposed to feel like?
How is it supposed to feel like?
Yes.
So you asked me the question this morning. Thank you. You said that, is it just about knowing Jesus? That's the question he asked. But I think he added something to it this morning. He said he wants to know that if eternal life is just about knowing Jesus, like what the scripture says in John 17:3. So it's just about...
You know John 17:3. Okay, then that's the answer. Yeah, John 17:3 is the answer. The answer is that eternal life is for the purpose of knowing God as your father and knowing Jesus as your husband. You know, Jesus is our husband as a church. Okay? He's the groom and we are the bride. So eternal life is for the purpose of having intimacy with the Godhead. That is it. And it is not a just. Maybe you don't know how important that is. Maybe you think it's just. Is it just for that? If you have a just in your mind, then it means that you don't understand spiritual things. Have you seen God at any time? Nobody has seen God at any time, the Bible says. Do you see? Huh. And life is not just about cars. What is car? What is house? When you don't have it, you feel like it's something. When you have it, you see, you have a phone, right? You have a phone, innit? When you wanted that phone, how did you feel? When they stole your phone and you had to get a new one, I mean, it came with a certain type of feeling, isn't it? When you have something, it loses its meaning of time. That is how things are. Things in this world, everything in this world perishes with their use. The Bible talks about it. Everything perishes with their use, including a wife, including a child, including a degree, including America, including Canada, including Germany, including shoes. The shoe you are wearing came fresh. You had a certain respect for the shoe. Look at you. Today, you just put your leg inside and just came. Don't even wash it. Everything in this life perishes with the use. Your wig that you are wearing, you had a certain desire to get a wig, isn't it? But now it's not really much. Just throw it away. It's hot. You move it up. My head is spinning me. Everything perishes with their use apart from God. God is the only one that sustains. He's the self-existing, self-sustaining one. You never get tired with God. Just even look at the word of God. You see, when you're reading your Bible, it's the same Bible we all read. You can read John 1 today and you get something from it. Then read John 1 tomorrow or after 2 days, you get another thing from it. Read it again after 5 years, you get a different thing from it. Read it after 10 years, you get a different thing from it. It's not a normal document. If you read a science fiction book or a novel, what you've read is what you have read. If you read it again, there's nothing new, isn't it? There's no new information. God is the only one who is exhaustless. So eternal life is an opportunity for you to have the experience of the exhaustlessness of God and of life. And it's not just, it's very important. Yeah. Eternal life is God stretching his hand for us to be given a place in eternity with him and have intimacy with him throughout eternity and not be lost in darkness. So it's not just try and see being lost, what it will be to be lost in eternity, in darkness and in fire. You see that some people think that hell will have Michael Jackson in. Do you know whether Michael Jackson is there or not? You don't know. Maybe Michael Jackson really believed in Jesus and you have no idea. He was a very religious guy. He was, Jehovah's Witness. He was born a Jehovah's Witness. He grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. I don't know whether he believed. We don't know. But people have received Christ on their deathbed. Yeah. They are great men that you don't even started religions. That's probably received Christ when they were dying. And you have no idea. Yeah. Hey. So you dear, don't give your life to Christ and receive eternal life and say that, hell will be nice. Hell, we go boogie for hell. Michael Jackson go day there. Sharon, what's her name? Whitney Houston go day there. Bob Marley go day there. This one go day there. Squad. Everyone go day there. Even these the guys who are around, they are on their way. We are all going to be there. Obashele we, Ajemekwe, Jay-Z. We'll be smoking weed over there. We'll be enjoying. You don't know what you are talking about. Deception. Your life was just deceiving you. Yeah. Eternal life is the life of God is the life and nature of God imparted to man. Now you can exhibit the character of God. Think it's normal to be kind. It's not normal. It's not. Have you seen children fighting before?
Yeah.
Not sharing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you share? Can you? They don't share. You will be surprised. Oh, you've not seen something before. Children who are not, they are not now. When you pick the child up, you say, oh, hello, baby. Pick it. Yeah. He just starts crying, whatever. Yeah. Some will even slap you. Scratch you. Yeah. Every child has a seed of Adam in him or her and needs to receive the seed of God, which is eternal life. Do you see? Yeah. So that attributes like kindness can show forth. So eternal life gives you the attributes of God, including kindness, forbearance, goodness, long suffering. You see, those things come into your life. You become a nice person just because of the life of God that is inside you. It's not in man to be nice. Man is wicked because he has a seed of Satan in him. He has to receive eternal life in order to be regenerated, for all things to become new, and hence be able to live the way God live in a pleasant way. Sometimes people don't know that America was founded on Christianity, on the Bible. The reason for most Americans are from United Kingdom. They are from England, from Ireland, from Wales. Okay, that's where they are from. That's their original hometown. But they were not being allowed to read the Bible on their own. If you are caught with the Bible, you are punished and things. So they decided that, listen, we are going to a place where we'll be free to read the Bible. That's why they moved. Maybe you don't know. They moved to go and read the Bible. You don't know. Go online and go and check. You think America is just America without the Bible? No. They moved to go, and land of the free is in reference to freedom to serve the Lord, freedom to read the Bible. Yes, freedom to start something with God and not be in one church, because there was a church that everybody was supposed to be in. And some of them said, we don't like this church. We want another type of church. So we are moving. That's where it began. That's how it came into existence. Maybe you don't know. Yeah. And America is what it is, just because of that. Yeah. In God we trust. It's on their money. In God we trust. That is it. That's the foundation of America. Okay. So every beautiful thing you are seeing around you is an offshoot of the life of God, of eternal life. Every beautiful thing. Yeah. Maybe you don't know that. You see, England, the English were called Anglo-Saxons. Maybe you don't know. They were called barbarians by the Romans. When we say barbarian, they were eating flesh without any, they don't even boil. They were the dirtiest group. Yeah. Dirtiest group. One bathing bowl, one basin, one bathtub will have 20. The whole house baths in that one bathtub. You bath, when you finish bathing, the next person enters and baths, the next person enters and baths with the same water. Yes, that's the England. You don't know. You don't know. You've not read history, so you don't know. Hey. Hey. Yeah. They were not even bathing for days.
Yeah.
There's even a skit, Richard, Mansa Musa.
Yeah.
There's a skit. Old Ghana Empire, Mansa Musa, had some small boy visit him. It's just a movie, a short. Maybe you can find it. And then the little boy said, I'm from England. Then Mansa Musa and his whole course said, I hear you people don't bath where you are. That is the truth. That is what you eat flesh without boiling, and you don't have spices and all of that. They didn't have spice. Yeah. Do you know the movement to colonize the world? It wasn't the original. They moved to go and look for spices. Yeah, spices, ginger, pepper, salt. It was the biggest trade at that time. You don't know. And then when they came, they realized that this people, they are not serious. Let's colonize them. And then they colonize the people. Hey, they carry the ingredients and carry the human beings as well. Hallelujah. Yeah, so the life of God is what brought light to them. It's eternal life that brought light to them. Have you heard of the French Revolution? Maybe you should read about the French Revolution. When the monarchs of France Antoinette, Marie, all those guys, all those people were killed, were beheaded, guillotined, were just beheaded. We don't want any royal whatever. That's why you don't have royalty in France, because they beheaded all of them. All of them. They killed all of them. King Louis the Fifth, I think. They killed all of them. And yeah, that was the last king. Yeah, they killed him. There was so much anger in France that didn't even make any sense. But across on the other side in England, there was peace. That thing didn't happen in England because of the work of someone called John Wesley, George Whitefield. All these people, they had preached in England so much. The English people had become God-fearing, had received eternal life, and their barbaric nature had been removed. So there was peace. That's why their royalty has continued up to date. France doesn't have it, because that thing, that revolution thing, was going through Spain and all, but it didn't enter England because of the eternal life that had been brought to the people who were there. So without it, we are civil because of eternal life. You may not know. The civil, whatever we are enjoying, civilization, is as a result of the coming in of the life of God. Man on his own, is a very terrible person. You may not know. Yeah. Even education, modern education as we know it. Do you know that as at 500 years ago, no woman was educated? Women were not educated. No. Which school are you going to? My friend, go home. The only people who were educated were royals, princes. Even the princesses were not allowed to go to school. They were not educated. As at 500 years ago. Just 500 years ago. Yeah. Only male royals or chosen people were allowed to read and write, learn how to read and write. Yeah. Until Martin Luther. Martin Luther is the one who opened modern education like we know it today. Europe, as we see it today, is as a result of Martin Luther's work of righteousness by faith in Christ. Yeah. The Dark Ages ended when that man found that verse. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Dark Ages, nobody was enlightened. Nobody could read to know what is in the Bible. Nobody could read to know what was in the Bible. The one church was covering everything, and everybody should be quiet. And they were using it for their power, their ability to read and understand the scriptures was used as a power against everybody. Yes, the whole world was in darkness, I tell you, for a very long period. Yeah. You don't know a lot of things. Martin Luther is the one God used to open the world up to what we can see today. Like, you know, being the kind of even air conditioning. All those things was found, that those discoveries, inventions came years after. Yeah. All those inventions came years after. Car, this, all that is just 120 years, 115 years ago. All the things we're enjoying today. Yes. All of them were Christians, or they were related to a Christian. All of them. All the inventors. Everybody you can think about. The Wright brothers. Aeroplane, Lulu plane, like we see. They were Christians. Their father was a pastor, I think. I hope I'm right. Yeah. All of them. Who? Caterpillar. The one who designed Caterpillar. The truck, right? Yes.
He was having it in dreams. God was revealing to him in dreams. And he was drawing it down. Yeah.
Moving earth things. Yeah. You may not know. You think that eternal life is just eternal life. Without eternal life, you don't have enlightenment. You know, the brain is dead. Yes, I tell you. So, please, it's not just, it's the most important thing. You see the choir singing, the singing you were doing in the church. It's Martin Luther's idea. Martin Luther brought singing in church, the way we know it. Yeah. Martin Luther encouraged the people and made them know that Christ is in you. You can do all things. Yeah. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Yeah. So he opened civilization up. Like, everybody should go to school. Started schools. All those things. Hey! Songwriting. Yeah. Hymns. Yes. Yeah. Martin Luther is 250 years before John Wesley. 250 years before John Wesley. John Wesley is about 250 years ago. America is just about 250 years ago. Do you know? I think America is turning 250 next year. You can check online for me. America is turning 250 years next year. So America, is just 250 years. Meanwhile, Jesus is 2,000 years ago. So I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. America, is 250 years ago. Is it? It's 249 this year. So next year is 250. November 16th. That was just some 2 days ago. Yeah. Hey! It's today. Today is 16th. Ah, America is 249 years today. Yes. 250 next year. Yeah. And what I'm trying to let you know is that it's because of Christianity that America is what it is, not because of anything. Yeah, you go to America, you see tunnels that have been dug through mountains. They have literally moved mountains. Mm-hmm. Yes, serious engineering. It's all from people who knew the Lord and knew to advance things. That's it. Science is not supposed to be against God in any way. Yeah, science is an enlightenment from God. God opens it up. Hey. Please, have I answered you? All right. So it's not just at all. It's the most important thing. It's the only thing to do. Your intimacy with God is what opens your mind up for anything that you want to do, whether business, you're a businessman, you want to excel, you need Jesus fully. Because you can succeed by wickedness. You turn into a beast. You succeeded though. You've made a lot of money, but you are a very terrible person. Nobody can stay with you. There are a lot of businessmen whose wives and children don't want to have anything to do with them. Haven't you no seen around? You've not seen. Yeah. Because they succeeded with money, but they didn't succeed with human relations. Family human relations. God was not there. Yeah. God gives you complete success. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So that's my short submission. I don't know if you want to add anything. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Any other question? Yes, at all. Yeah. Mandosha.
Thank you, Daddy.
Amen.
In summary, my question is about Ananias and Sapphira.
Okay.
I want to know why they died. Is that... that's my question. Is that detached right. God's administration?
Acts chapter 5. The Bible talks about a certain man called, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira. I answered it for you some time ago. Amazing. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. They were actually not born again. You check in the book of Acts, you notice that they use, if they are referring to someone who is born again, they use a certain disciple. So the other verse is in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. This is concerning the other Ananias. This is the other Ananias, the guy who prayed for Paul. He was born again. So the Bible says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. But Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't say a certain disciple. They said a certain man. I tell you. So Ananias and his wife were not born again. It's like church. They are in church, but they are not born again. In church, you have people, every congregation, you have people who are born again and people who are not born again. Yeah, so they are in the system, but they are not born again. They are church members, but they are not actually born again. Or they are around, but they are not born again. They are certain men. They are not certain disciples. You get it? Uh-huh. So Ananias... that Ananias and Sapphira were not born again. They were just everywhere you go. Even Cornelius, look at Acts chapter 10. Cornelius wasn't born again, so he was referred to as a certain man. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So he was not born again, so he was called a certain man. When you are born again, they call you a certain disciple. That's the answer. Have I answered you? So he was around, they were around, but they weren't born again. And when they lied like that, I mean, that was it. Okay? But a Christian, haven't you lied? You've lied to pastors many times. Are you dead? You've lied to your pastor. Where are you coming from? You are coming from the boy's house, but you didn't die. You are in the room. You said you are, we can see you on the bed. You say, oh, I'm not in the hostel. I've gone home. But the Holy Spirit didn't kill you. You didn't die. Yeah. So, These guys died because they were not, and the scripture shows, they were not Christians. They were around, but they were not Christians. Okay? Yeah. Any other question? Yes, I see a hand over there. Everything is in the Bible. Isn't it amazing? Yeah. If someone doesn't teach you, you never know. Someone taught me, that's why I know. It's not that I read it, I saw it. Mm-hmm. Someone said it. I said, hey! So the reaction you had, it was also my reaction. I was like, hey! Because I've always wondered, Ananias and Sapphira, why did they die? They were actually not born again. Yeah. It was a certain man. Yeah. He wasn't born again. Yes.
Okay. Please. Thank you very much, Daddy.
Thank you. What's your name?
I'm Eben. Ebenezer.
Eben.
Iwanyako.
That's far as the Lord brought us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, please. I've grown to understand, following the teachings and the knowledge I've gotten, that there is no, under no condition will I lose my salvation.
Yeah.
And I think it's settled in my heart at this point. But there's one thing that's bothering me.
Okay.
When Jesus said that he who denies me in front of men, I will also deny in front of my Father. So I was wondering if, for instance, you find yourself in one of these countries where and let's say they say, are you a Christian or not? And there's a gun to your head. What will you do? Let's say you lie and say, oh no, I'm not a Christian. It's just one of them. And they kill you and you die. I mean, God is our Father from the understanding that we have. So a child can say, you are not my dad anymore, but that doesn't make the dad stop being but with what Jesus said and this scenario I've given, what, I don't know if there's an explanation to what Jesus said. Thank you.
Wow. Eben, you're thinking a lot, but yes, it's good. It's good. It's a sign that you are reading the Bible. Yeah. But you see, there are several ways to answer this question, but let me just pick it up from this side. When God says something, he means it. Okay? When God said that you will never lose, I give them eternal life, John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, all those who believe in me, can you show it to us? But my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Then it says in the next verse, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you see? Let's read the Amplified of this verse, Amplified class. It says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never lose it or perish. Throughout the ages, it's either it is true or it's not true. Throughout the ages, to all eternity, they shall never by any means be destroyed, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. So this same person who said this is Jesus Christ, he said this. The one who said this is saying in another place that the one who denies me, okay, I'll also deny before, the one who denies me before men, I'll also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. It cannot be in reference of denying you like you are, I don't know you, go away, go to hell. It cannot be. What do you think about what I'm saying? Yeah, because he now said, just in another place, says that you when you receive the life, you will never perish. Nobody can take you out of my hand, including yourself. Do you see? So this verse concerning, in Matthew 10, concerning denying the Father, cannot be in reference to your salvation. Okay? We are sons of God, and we are also servants of God. You must always understand this particular thing. We are sons of God, and we are servants of God. In Titus chapter, Jude chapter 1, verse 4, you know, Jude mentions two aspects of the lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives. Jude 1, 4, he says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God, into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are two Lords there. Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The first Lord is different from the second Lord. The first Lord is the word curious. You can check it. K-U-R-I-U-S. Curious. I-I-O-U-S. I hope I'm right. Curious. That's the first word. Oh? No, no, that one is despotous. The first one is despotous. And the second one is curious. Hello? The first Lord is despotous. The second Lord is curious. So Jesus is both curious and despotous. Okay? When we say Jesus is curious, it means, has to do with you becoming, you receiving Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Romans 10, verse 9. Look at Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, the word Lord is curious, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This has to do with your salvation, receiving eternal life. Jesus becomes the curious, the Lord of your life, the curious of your life. But the other word, despotous, has to do with boss, becoming the boss of your life. Despotous has to do with Jesus becoming boss over your life. Okay? Jesus becoming what? Boss over your life. Now, as sons, so the first one makes you a son. When you make Jesus the Lord, the curious of your life, you become a son of God. Now you are in son place. You're a child of God. You have eternal life. You will never go to hell by the grace of God. Okay? So that is settled. As a son, you are accepted. As a son, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 applies to you. Look at Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestination unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, then he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved, and hence you are accepted as a beloved. You are accepted. You are before the Lord without blame, without holy and blameless before the Lord in love. That is your sonship. And it cannot be removed. It cannot be taken away. There's even sonship inheritance. As a son, you have an inheritance in God, and God also has an inheritance in you. Romans chapter 8. Okay, let's read Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And if sons, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because you are son, He says that God has sent the Spirit of His Son, that's the Holy Spirit, into your heart, crying, Daddy, Daddy, right? Next verse, verse 7. Then it says, wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You are an heir of God. So, you have an inheritance in Christ. Do you understand? Romans chapter 8, verse 17 applies to you as a son. Romans 8, 17. You must always make that differentiation. There are verses that has to do with your sonship, and there are verses that has to do with your servanthood. Okay? And if children, then heirs. Are you a child of God? He says you are an heir. Heirs of God. And joint heirs together with Christ. Okay? Then he goes on. If so be that you suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. So there are those. So we are all heirs, but then there are those who are heirs as sons who suffer with him. And hence will be glorified together with him. So curious has to do with sonship. Then despotous has to do with servanthood. So we are servants, sons. We are sons, but we are also servants. And as servants, we work for our boss and his interests. And hence, he rewards us when we work for him accordingly. And there are myriads of verses along that line. As a servant, you can be rejected or accepted. So that verse is in reference to our servanthood. If you like, read the whole of Matthew 10. Matthew 10, he was sending them out to go and preach. And he gave them the conditions that comes with doing the ministry. Okay? So a verse like 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, 24. I'm sure you are wondering where I get all these verses from. Are you wondering where I get all these verses from? It's the Holy Spirit. He brings the verses. Yes. And also, he shows me what I'm talking about. I preached just on Tuesday. Was it on Monday or Tuesday? I did a recording for a church in America. Tuesday. This is what I preached. Remember? I preached this to another church online in America, in Dallas on Tuesday. They are watching it this morning as I'm talking to you. And this is what I preached. And the amazing thing is that you've come to ask me about it. So what I preached, I'm just remembering and sharing it with you as the Holy Spirit is reminding me. You see? Look at this. Paul says, knowing that they which run in a race, run all. But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. So there's a prize to have. Not as a son, but as a servant. Next verse. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. Next verse. Then it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertain, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Next verse. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, when I have preached, not when I have become a son to others, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway is adokimos, unfit, to be declared unfit, unqualified, disqualified. So, as a servant, you can be qualified or disqualified. As a servant, you can be denied or accepted. But as a son, you are accepted. Please, you get it. Hello? You can be accepted or denied as a servant, but not as a son. And God has a there's a ministry for all of us. All of us sitting here. Maybe you don't know what is at stake. All of us are servants. And all of us are the ones to do the work of the ministry. Not pastors. Pastors are to train. My job is to train you. And then you do the work of the ministry. So that you are not denied your place as a servant. Your rewards as a servant. Colossians chapter 3 verse 24. Look at Colossians 3, 24. So as a servant, you can be accepted or denied or rejected. But as a son, you cannot be rejected. You have been accepted. You are blameless before him in love. He did it himself. But as a servant, you can be rejected. There are thrones that God has prepared for you to sit on. If you don't do what he says to do as your boss, you will lose that throne. So there's a throne to not lose. There are crowns to not lose. There are rewards to not lose. There are medals to not lose. You can be in heaven and not have any reward along the lines of a servant, your servanthood. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is God, but he's also a servant. He was crowned not because of his godhood, but because of his servanthood. He obeyed to death. Crowns are for those who serve. Acceptance is for sons. Jesus was never denied as a son. Jesus was always loved by the Father. But he had a work for him to do. He did the will of God. That's what we are talking. That's why we are here. If it was about going to heaven, when we die, we go. Or when you get born again, we just behead you and then you go. It's not, why are we still here? We are still here because of the servanthood aspect of our life that he wants us to do here. Which has to do with bringing others to him, to have intimacy with him, just like you have come to have intimacy with him. That's all. Our job is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Easy English, verse 18. All this is the work of God. He's talking about the new creation. When you get born again, the verse before talks about the new creation. It says, when you are born again, all this is the work. And who? Okay, 17. When anyone is united with Christ, they become a new person. God makes them new. All things have gone. See, they have become new. Next verse, 18. It says, all this is the work of God, who because of Christ has stopped being angry with us. Period. By Christ, we have become God's friends instead of his enemies. Period. You are his friend, and he will not deny you. Then he says, after that, now that you are his friend, he wants us to bring other people to be his friends also. This is the job that he has given to us. So there's a job, and hence there's a boss. Then there's another side where your boss is your father. The fact that your boss is your father does not mean that when you come to work, you come and misbehave. No, when you come to work, we are working, brother. Put your roll up your sleeves and work. Yes. So as a son, you are accepted, but as a servant, you can be accepted or rejected. But you are still a son. There's no problem. Okay? So there is servant reward. That's in Colossians 2. Colossians 3, verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance. Let's read from verse 23 so that we can understand it. It says, and whatever you do, do it heartily. As to the Lord and not unto men. Have you seen it? Whatever you are doing, he says, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The reward of what? Inheritance. So there's the reward, as inheritance that comes as a reward. It's reward of the inheritance. Then there's inheritance as a son. But there's reward for your, there's inheritance reward. Okay? Hello? There's inheritance, what? Reward. Message. 23 to 24. Message version. Hey. Work from the heart of your real work from the heart for your real master. He's talking about the master. Jesus is both Lord and master. Okay? He's your Lord. He's your owner. Then he's also your master, your boss. Maybe you don't know the boss aspect. You just know the other aspect. Work from the heart for your real master, for God. Next verse. Then it says, confident that you get paid in full. Payday is coming. Mr. Podosia. Why did Moses reject Egypt and follow Christ? Because he had a reward in mind. Everybody has been working for the Lord with reward in mind. Yeah. That is why they don't deny the Lord when it comes to it. Okay, because you know what it means. Confident that you get paid in full when you come up into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you are serving is Christ. Next verse. The silent servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Hey, being Christian doesn't cover up bad work. Wow. It is finished. They tell us that. Hello? So you have... Charlie, there's a reward for you. Eh? Yeah. And you can read Matthew 10. We can read... It wasn't what Jesus sending them. When he sent them, he said, don't be afraid of anyone as you go, as you preach, say this, say that. Then he told them, don't think that I've come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace on the earth. Take up your cross, follow me, and all of that. So it's all about serving, not about your sonship. You're in your service, it's don't deny me. Suffer with me. Yeah. So you will not even get the opportunity to be asked the question whether you're a Christian or not. You will not be given the opportunity when you are not qualified for it. It's an opportunity God gives to certain people to be martyred. It's not everybody who gets it. So stop thinking too much. It's called the cup of his sufferings, and God gives it to people. It's called the baptism into his death. God gives it to people. It's not just everyone. Okay? When you serve to a point, then God will say, okay, I want you to suffer for me. I want you to feel the sufferings I felt when I was on earth so that we can fellowship when you come to heaven. It's called the fellowship of the sufferings. It's not everybody who is a partaker of that fellowship. All those who don't want it, don't get it. Hey! Out of the disciples, it was only 12. Also you can add up. Charlie, we are preaching together. I'm going to bed.
Hallelujah. So Matthew 10, verse 1. Just buttressing what Daddy mentioned. And when he had called unto them his 12 disciples. Now, mind you, Jesus had many disciples. So this was the 12. We know Daddy was mentioning that it's not even everyone that is applying to. I mean, it's a privilege. So the whole chapter, he's talking to them and encouraging them how to see things, how to work for him. Because they've never really done it before. So this becomes a blueprint for anyone that is serving, that wants to be a disciple, that wants to serve the Lord, that, okay, this is how to look at it, so that you can be a good servant, in Jesus' name.
I'm back from sleeping. Amen. I hope I've answered you. I hope you understand. How many of you are going to serve the Lord? Whether you like it or not, you have a calling. No, it's either, there are two types of churches. Let me tell you something. This is very important. There are two types of churches in the world. There are churches that don't talk about serving. Because they want you to have a cozy. You come, we serve you, you go like that. Nobody knows you. And it's fine, we are okay. At this church, they don't worry me. No shepherding, all these things. We don't like it. I'm free. You are mad. You are mad. You don't know. You don't know that. I'm sorry. But listen, you have been denied for eternity. This is the reason why we have the Protestant church. The Protestant church protested against the Roman Catholic church. There's a Roman Catholic church and then there's a Catholic church. The Catholic church means universal church. There's a Catholic means universal, and we all belong to the Catholic church. We all belong to the universal church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? But there's a Roman Catholic Church that had a certain history They are not like that now, but it is in their history, okay, that they denied people from serving the Lord. If you weren't called into the priestly ministry to become part of the clergy, I mean, you are just there. And Jesus says, I hate it. You couldn't read the Bible. They read and told you what to do. This is church history. It's part of, we are all from them. We are all from them. And what I'm trying to say is that the Czech Pentecostalism and all, it came out of we call them Protestants, because they protested against the rules and the whatever of the Roman Catholic Church. No, it's not supposed to be like that. There have been arguments concerning what the true church is over the years. Okay? So, you can be denied. There are Protestants who deny people as well. There are Pentecostals who deny people as well. There are Charismatics who deny people as well. They don't let them do anything. Everybody is comfortable. Do whatever you want to do. Go and make money and bring tithes to church. Just come on Sundays. Don't read the Bible. It's fine. We'll read it and interpret for you. It's a big mistake. Eternal life is to know God for yourself. Not for someone to know him on your behalf. For someone to pray on your behalf. For someone to do things on your behalf. It's not allowed. It's not... God wants you. He doesn't want someone to step in. Jesus said, I will not even pray for you. You talk to God yourself because he loves you. Even Jesus says, I will not do it. You are saying you will do it for somebody. So it's either you are in a church that allows you, gives you the opportunity, the privilege of serving your master, not only being a son of God, but being a servant of God. Or you meet a church that doesn't talk about it at all. Everybody will be blessed. Be comfortable. Be around. Have you given your tithe? Oh, you did a great job. Give good offerings. Yeah, become a big lawyer. That's why we have lawyers, doctors who don't like talking about God at all, even though they are Christians. We don't see the Christianity. We don't see it at all. Sorry? Lecturers, plenty of lectures. They are in church on Sunday, but suba and enkoye. The character is terrible. It's like Christ is hidden completely. Yes. Yes, they call it a marketplace. They call the workplace marketplace, and then the church is the church. You don't take the church to the marketplace. You don't bring the marketplace to the church. It's a mistake. It's a big mistake. Okay? Yeah. And they are denying people eternal rewards. First Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Look at First Peter 5, verse 4. Maybe you don't know. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, Jesus Christ, says, you shall receive a crown of glory that faded not away. There's a crown of glory that is for shepherds, people who serve in the house of God, people who help other people to be discipled. Jesus' authority is for discipleship. Maybe you don't know. Regardless of your career, yes, it's for making disciples. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Look at Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. This is Jesus talking. Behold, I come quickly. This is Jesus talking. This is last chapter of the last book of the Bible. Jesus is saying, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, not my inheritance for my sons is with me. My reward is with me. To give every man, not some men, every man according as his work shall be, not as his sonship shall be. Don't rise up and do something for the Lord. Don't rise up and fulfill your ministry. You have a ministry to fulfill, I'm telling you. Anyone who doesn't tell you has done you a great disservice. He has done you a great harm. He's been a very wicked person to you, even though he's smiling nicely to you. Maybe he himself doesn't know. He himself may not even know. Yeah. He's done you a great disservice. You should be rushing to do something for the Lord. You should be rushing. You should be rushing to become a disciple. You should be rushing to host an LC meeting. I want to gather some people into my hall and let them watch this LC meeting. And that is my work for the Lord. You don't rise up. He's coming with his work, with his reward for those who are working. Oh, according to his work. Not according to his sonship. According to his work. Hey. Sometimes we talk like people don't like it. Oh, are you stressing us? I'm leaving the church because you don't like, you're always talking about shepherding, you're using me, I'll be there. They're using you to build an empire. Which empire? Hey! What's the name of the empire? 2 Corinthians 5:10. I didn't want to mention it. I should mention it. Amplified. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Amplified Classic Version. It's in the Bible. I don't want to talk plenty. That's why I am not. I even have 1 Corinthians 3:11 in my mind, 11 all the way to 15. For we must all appear and be revealed as we are before the judgment seat of Christ. There's something called the judgment seat of Christ. All of us will be, everybody, Elville Baldy, will be before the judgment seat of Christ. Not to be judged to go to hell or to be judged for sin. The judgment of sin has already happened in Jesus Christ. It's finished. We don't have a problem. You are not going to hell. Forget about hell. It's not about hell at all. No. It's about two things. Becoming more like Christ outwardly and loving the people that Christ loves. Do you see? By working for him. Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. That's what we are talking about. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one, is it some people? Each one. The Corinthian church was the worst of the churches. They were fornicating, they were boozing, but Paul told them, each one of you may receive the pay, so that each one may receive his pay according to what he has done in the body. What did you use your body to do? Not when you are dead. What did you use the body to do? And what did you do in the body of Christ? Whether good or evil, considering what his purpose and motive have been, and what he has achieved, been busy with, and given himself and his attention to accomplishing, you receive your pay. I thought you would clap better than you are clapping. When you see someone like Bishop Doug always talking about the work of the Lord, stop criticizing him. Oh, he's helping you. He's helping you. He's giving you an opportunity for eternal rewards. Yeah. One of the pastors, very close, very wonderful person, came to preach here. He just died just like that. Today he was there, tomorrow he was not there, he's gone. Yeah. But he was serving God. He was given the opportunity when he was in the university by Bishop Doug to start serving God. He died when he was like 56. He was just 18, 19 when he started working for the Lord. He was given the opportunity to serve God by his pastor. His pastor is older than him. He didn't know that he would die before his pastor. But whatever his pastor said to do, he believed it and started putting things in place, doing what he could for the Lord. He's gone into eternity. It's finished. Whatever his reward is between him and his God. It has nothing to do with the pastor here building an empire. For what? For who? Whose name is where? My name is not on air conditions. Like, we bought the air conditioning in my name. So when I want, I just drink one. Like, use this to buy a car. I could have used it to buy a car. This 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think when we put it together, I can buy a very nice car. This is one nice car, another nice car. The ceiling is another car. The speakers, another car. The sound, another car. Instruments, another car. Cameras, another car. This one, a land, a house. We could have bought all those things. If we are building an empire, there's a better way to build an empire. If you are really building, you should have that everything, that sitting there, everything is around you. Yeah, this is my empire. You are not serious. I feel like slapping the person right now. If there's a question that is not complex, I can answer it. If you come and ask me Revelation chapter 5, I would not mind. Let the lady ask, okay? Yeah.
My question is very simple. Okay. I was scrolling on TikTok one time, and I saw a pastor. He was talking about how the modern concept of dating and everything is very wrong because he doesn't see why people should go into talking stages before they start dating, before they get married, because he doesn't see anywhere in the Bible that it was stated that, oh, this and this were dating and they got married. So it's very wrong because it's leading to a lot of fornication.
No, continue. Don't mind. It's the code.
It's okay. So yes, I wanted to be educated.
About whether dating is biblical.
Whether it's biblical.
Okay. All right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What does the Bible say about Joseph and Mary? What does the Bible say about Joseph and Mary? They were in a relationship and were planning to marry. It's not a compliment. How about David and Michal? David and Michal were in a relationship scheduled to marry. And David had to do a lot of things, go and get foreskins of Philistines to come and do the marriage. But the interest was already there. David killed Goliath. One of the reasons David killed Goliath was that he was told that the king's daughter would be given to whoever. He said, hey. Because the guy had caught his eyes a long time. So when they said that the king's daughter will be given to whoever kills this guy, he said, oh, God is with me. I'm going to kill this guy. Maybe you think it's not that. You can show it to us. It's in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 17. He was told. Yeah. And from the time he killed Goliath to the time he got, even Michal, they didn't give Michal to him. It was a lot of things, issues. He was chased around. But he still married her at the end of the day because he loved her. There was a long period. Who? Jacob also loved Rachel for a long time before he was given him for her to marry. I don't know what you are talking about. So how when we see the girl now, okay, we are marrying tomorrow. No, there should be something. Arranged marriages. No, I mean there should be a relationship. There should be something. There should be friendship. Matthew 1:18. Okay, let's read this one. 1 Samuel 17:25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Let's read the lighter version. NLT. Wow. The Holy Spirit has answers for everything, I tell you. Can you clap for the Holy Spirit for giving us good answers? Yeah. Do you have NLT? Okay. Have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes. David asked the soldiers standing by, what will a man get for killing? Oh, have you gone back? Okay, 26. What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine now, anyway that is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Next verse. And these men gave David the same reply. They said, yes, that is the reward for killing him. Yes. But when David's oldest brother Eliab heard about it, he demanded blah, 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 blah. Pride, you just want to see the battle. Verse 28, verse 29. What have I done now? David replied, I was only asking a question. He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. He was wanted to be sure. Charlie, money, no taxes, a girl. Okay. Money and girl. I like it. Enough motivation. So David went out because he was motivated to do it all. Yes. He was going to become the king's son-in-law. That's something good. God helped him. And he knew his God, so it wasn't a problem. Yes. Then David's question was reported to the king, Saul. And the king sent for him. The Bible mentions that David loved Michal. And King Saul knew it. He knew it. So he decided to use it against him. He knew it. Read your Bible, you see it. Okay? I hope I've answered you, my dear.
Yeah.
You mentioned Matthew what? Look at this. 1 Samuel 18:28. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and how much his daughter Michal loved him. Next verse. So the guy was also falling for him. Saul became even more afraid of him and remained David's enemy for the rest of his life. Yes. Okay. This was way before they got married.
Yeah.
This was way before they got married. Yeah. Way before they got married. So, the interest was there. Matthew 1:18. Please, you can help us.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Daddy. It says that, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, then espoused there means to woo her and ask her in marriage. So it's a wooing process.
It's a wooing something. It's a wooing something, something. It's a dating something. Oh, Charlie, you need to see some. You like the person, you get close, you like some more, and then you realize, Charlie, I can stay with this person, I can love this person, I can. That's how we do it. So I don't know what else we should do. Maybe another version will help us. Show us another version. This one, this was how Jesus, God's anointed, was born. His mother Mary had promised Joseph to be his wife. He had promised Joseph, like, I'm going to be your wife. I love you, baby. I enjoy you, baby. Let's take it to the logical conclusion, baby. Oh, yes. That's what I mean, that's it. I don't know what else you are looking for. TPT. This is TPT. I promised Joseph to be his wife, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, Charlie! Hey! This is Wagadre. Do you know Yeshe? Yeshe, no. Hey! Please, last question. You wanted to ask a question? Yes. And then we close, okay? Have you been blessed? Yes.
My name is Stifler. Stifler.
Stifler.
Yes, please.
Okay. Nice meeting you, Stifler.
Oh, nice meeting you too, sir. Hello, everyone. I have lots of questions. Well, sorry, please. I came late.
Because of time.
So I'll just ask one here.
Yeah.
So my question is about the Old Testament. So I was going to it recently. So we have like the 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings 19. We have like Isaiah 37. These two verses, like the old chapter, they give us
2 Kings 19 and Isaiah 37.
If you go through these two chapters, give us like word for word, comma, dot, everything for the whole chapter. So scholars will argue that if like I usually like do a lot of history background about the Bible because my own faith is like very, very small, like 1% over 100. So my personal faith is like 1% over 100. So it makes me like
your personal faith is like 1% of what you want
of over 100
over 100.
Yeah. So it makes me doubt like a lot of things.
Okay.
So once I doubt like the existence of the old Bible, then gradually you begin to understand why these are like this, why things are like this. So I want you to give me an understanding of why these two verses are like word for word.
I don't even know what's in the verses. You have to tell me what's in the verses.
So it's talking about the story of like
which verse are you looking at? The whole thing. We can't read the whole thing.
No, we can go to like the first maybe two verses. You see that?
Okay.
Go to
first, last 2 Kings 19.
2 Kings 19 and like Isaiah 37. The first two verses and the last one. But the whole chapter is like word for word. So if you can like explain to me why it's like this.
Hold on. He says, let's read it. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went to the house of the Lord. Verse 2, and he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders the priest, covered the sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blessing, for the children are come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring forth. Next verse, it may be that the Lord thy God will hear all. Come again. Yeah, so Isaiah 34, right?
37,
okay. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria his master has sent to reproach the living God, and reprove the words which the Lord thy God has heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnants that are left. Okay. Next verse. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Next verse. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which I have heard, which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I'll cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tehaka, king of Ethiopia, behold, he is come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers unto. It's a story about someone who had come against Judah.
Yeah.
And to fight against Judah, he's cursing God and all of them. God says, I'll take that guy out.
Yeah, I understand that. My own thought is like, what I need explanation is, the two verses are like, wait, for what you are reading right now, if you open Isaiah 37, it's like exactly the same thing. The same place, the same command, the same everything.
So it's the same thing.
Exactly, word for word.
So, where's the confusion?
The confusion
where's
is,
the question?
We
why is this the same?
I say the same, yeah, exactly.
Oh, so you should have asked. I was wondering.
That's what I was asking. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Why is it the same?
Why is it the same? Why is it
one different? Is a report from Isaiah. Isaiah was written by Isaiah. He was the one they came to see concerning the story. So, he also wrote it from the perspective, or from his perspective. And then, it was written that the Kings, First and Second Kings, was written by scribes. It's the history of Israel and Judah.
Yes.
So scribes wrote that side, okay. And then Isaiah also wrote his side.
Yes, exactly. That's where the question.
To confirm
was.
What the
if
other.
Isaiah was confirming what the scrolls or what Second Kings was talking about. You can't give word for word because in our own line of work, we call it like copy and paste, and we understand that you're only giving account.
Listen, hold on. Oh, guys, relax. What's your problem? He has a question. So you have to allow.
So when giving account, mm-hmm. if everyone wants to give account of what's happened right now.
Let me tell you how the Bible. Let me tell you how the Bible was written.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay, so Genesis was written by Moses.
Yes, please.
Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were written by Moses.
Yes, please.
Now, Moses was not in Genesis when God said, "Let there be light." He was not there. He was not in any of those times. He was shown. God gave him. He saw God's back. And God gave him revelation into the past.
Yes, please.
John saw God's, Jesus' face. He had revelation into the future.
Exactly.
Moses was given the opportunity to see God's past. Now, Moses documented what God told him. And every child in Israel, that's called the Baal Midrash and the Baal Talmud, every child by age 13 or 12 should know every one of the five books of Moses. That's Baal Talmud. Okay. I hope I'm saying it right. Beth, Midrash and Beth. Talmud, right? Yeah. Okay. Every child in Israel, born in Israel,
okay.
should be able to recite Genesis 1 verse 1 to Deuteronomy, whatever, the last one, verbatim.
Honestly.
That's why you see them at the Wailing Wall. They quote, they mention it. Same story is said over and over and over and over. Everyone is supposed to memorize it. Verbatim. That's how. And then Beth, I hope I'm saying, I forgot in Beth, Talmud, Beth, Midrash. Midrash is from Joshua all the way to, I think, was it Malachi or so. You're supposed to be able to quote all of that between age 13 and 30, something like that. You rehearse it over and over and over. So the stories that are in there, what we read are stories. It's not stories for them. It's something that is memorized and something that is repeated verbatim. Okay? So the kings have documented something. That thing is to be spoken of so that they don't forget. God told Moses to tell the children of Israel that everything that he has done for them, they should memorize it, they should repeat it. And that was a custom. So the full stops, the comments, it was even introduced later. Full stops and comments were not part of the Bible.
Understand.
It was introduced later. Okay? Uh-huh. So what I'm trying to let you know is that it is not a surprise that a particular chapter and another chapter are matching and have the same thing. It should let you know that, oh, they actually existed in the same timeline. That's how you should look at it. They existed in the same timeline and their history was rehearsed. Everybody knows it. So if whoever wrote first, whether Isaiah wrote before the scribes wrote, whoever wrote first could easily replicate what the other person said to what the other person said. Easily. Because it is what is their custom to repeat. I don't know if you want to answer something, James. You are into these things. Yeah, but just as they repeat all the time. And there's nothing wrong with it. So whoever wrote, they make. If you read, there are things in Chronicles. That is just like the same thing in Kings. Same thing, because it's rehearsed.
Yeah, I understand that. The verses sometimes, like, they take, like, word for word. But this one, what makes it more convincing is, like, the old chapter. And we are understanding this quite differently. I understand that if you give an account of what happened right now, I would give an account differently. You might give, like, 90% similarities, but not, like, 100%.
Yeah, so what I'm saying, that
yeah, I understand.
You understand now.
So if you make me understand that, then words were memorized back in the day, like,
oh, yes.
7 years before Christ.
Memorized verbatim.
Verbatim. So that should, so far as, like, answer.
Yeah, so question. One person can repeat the other, what was documented by this other person, verbatim. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I mean, verbatim, word for word. If you miss one word, you are in trouble. You were not qualified to go to the next level. It was supposed to be verbatim.
Okay.
Okay? Uh-huh. So, it's either Isaiah repeated what the scribes
Second
wrote,
Kings.
Or the scribes repeated what Isaiah wrote, depending on who wrote first.
Okay.
Which was considered scripture, because it was part of their history. And they were to read their history. Some Psalm 105. God tells them, don't forget. Okay, even in Deuteronomy, he talks about, don't forget. Eh? Deuteronomy 6:6, yeah. Don't forget, you shall talk about it when you rise up and all of that. Then Isaiah, in Psalm 1, I think Psalm 105, he says, make sure you don't forget all the wonders. Can you help me? Just look for Psalm 105. But this is one of the verses. And these words which I commanded is, they shall be in thine heart. And he says, and you shall teach them to your children. Verse 7. And you shall teach them diligently. Diligently.
Understand.
Unto thy children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. And when thou walkest by the way. And when thou liest down. And when thou risest up. So what Israel did was to make it into music, into songs. So they sing their history. They sing their history. They were singing their history. Okay. Exodus 18. After Egypt was drowned in the Red Sea, Miriam took a tambourine and sang what had happened. So it's also there. You see Miriam singing. They rehearsed what has happened through song so that they can remember. Yeah, Psalm 105, the whole of Psalm 105 is a rehearsal of their history, a summary of their history. Okay? From Psalm 105, from verse 5. Look at verse 5. Remember this his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgment of his mouth. Remember, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in the earth. I don't know if you've read Acts chapter 7 before. Acts chapter 7 is a record of Israel's history told by one person, Stephen. He spoke for 50-something verses. Okay? Spoke about Israel. Everybody knows. They were all quiet. They all know. Because they are expected. And Stephen was an excellent student with the Talmud and Beth Midrash. Okay? And he said, men and brethren, fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto the father Abraham. He even gave us details that are not in the Old Testament. He appeared unto your father when he was in Mesopotamia, when he dwelt in Haran. Before he dwelt in Haran. So he makes us know that God spoke to Abraham before he moved to Haran. So what we have in Genesis 12 was 10 years after God had spoken to Abraham. Abraham responded to God after 10 years. God spoke at 10 years after God had spoken to him. Let me tell you something. Never approach the Bible with doubt. Approach the Bible as a student who wants to learn. Do you get it? If you approach the Bible as a student who wants to learn, you will learn a lot. But if you approach it with criticisms and what other people have said, we don't know who they are. Awesome. You get it? Huh. You may, because the theologians read the Bible and become unbelievers. Because a lot, they don't see. And you need the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see what is in the Bible. You need the Holy Spirit. You cannot, the Bible is a supernatural book. It's not like newspaper. It's different. So you need the Spirit to help you understand what's going on. And you always need someone to help you understand the scriptures. It's in the Bible that you need someone to help you understand what is there. Then you can be set on the right path to keep going. You get it? For instance, what you said, my faith is 1% of what, one over 100%. You need someone to teach you that it's not supposed to be like that. Because if you have someone who will teach you well, you will know that the faith you have is the same faith Jesus has. And it's 100%. Just that you don't know about it. So you must be taught to know about it. Okay? That's all.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's give him a big round of applause. Yeah. Wow. Have you been blessed? Yeah. Have you learned anything since we started talking? Can we rise up and just thank God for a minute? Thank God for his goodness. Today we have learned that dating is not a problem because David and Joseph had to date somebody, innit? A certain man learned about Ananias, a certain man. All these things are from the Lord. The Lord is the one who has answered our questions. I think we should give him thanks in just a minute. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for the blessing, the revelation of his word. The understanding he has given us. Father, we are grateful. Father, we are thankful. We are grateful. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, you reign, my King.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord God, you reign forever and you reign supreme. Unending is your reign, my King. Lord God, you reign forever and you reign supreme.
Oh Lord, we are grateful, we are thankful.
You are great, you are kind, you are good. You are great, you are kind, you are good.
Unending,
unending
is your reign,
is your reign, my King.
Oh Lord God. Unending,
unending
is your reign,
my King.
Oh Lord God,
Lord God, you reign forever and you reign supreme.
Lord, you are great. You are great.
You are great. You are kind. You are good.
Lord, you are great.
You are great. You are kind. You are good.
Unending,
unending
is your reign. Oh Lord God. Unending,
unending
is your reign,
oh Lord God.
Lord, you are great.
You are great.
You are great.
You are God. You are.
Is it great, Lord? You are great.
You are great. You are God. You are.
Lift up your hands. You are great.
You are great. You are God.
One last time, Lord. You are great. Father, we are grateful, we are thankful for your blessings. Thank you that this week is blessed, filled with your love, filled with your glory. Thank you that this week we enjoy your fatherhood practically every step of the way. Even in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may give the Lord a shout and take your seat. Glory, 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 glory.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.